As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to the History of Egypt podcast. This is the Complete Pyramid Texts, as found in the monument of King Unas at Saqqara. This is part three. If you have not listened to the first two, I highly recommend starting there. Leaving the burial chamber, the king's soul and the funerary priests were departing the Duat. Physically, the burial chamber is separated from the other rooms by a short, low passage. This tiny corridor is also decorated with texts. Texts that follow and respond to the burial chamber. In the burial chamber, we saw Unas awaken from death, take stock of his body, and then take catalogue of the offerings, as item upon item were given up for the nourishment of Unas and the gods. Now, in the small passageway, we find texts that continue those themes. They have their own content, but they definitely build on what came before. Kind of a sequel to the burial chamber passages. As you duck down and leave the burial chamber, you are heading east. Entering the passage, you will find hieroglyphs on your left to the north and your right to the south. We'll start with the north. We begin with a section called the Reversion of Offerings, Wejeb Khetepu Necher. What this means is the return of offerings, after they have been used in the rituals. When the priests were done making their offerings to the king, or Unas making offerings to the gods, the items themselves still remained. Those items would then return to the one making the offerings, for their own personal use. In the context of the pyramid texts, these items will return to Unas for his nourishment and sustenance. In the living world, though, the offerings would physically revert to the priests, a part of their reward or wages for their duties. The reversion of offerings was actually a formal practice and an essential part of a temple's economy. I won't get into that here. Just know that in life and in death, the offerings would first go to their divine recipient, then they would go back to the speaker. This section includes a repetition of utterances that we heard in part two on the north wall of the burial chamber. These are offering rituals that invoke the Ka spirit, the essence of vitality and life. The Ka will go with Unas into the next world, and various deities will accompany it. This is the north wall of the passage. First, Utterances 23-25. Quote, O Osiris Unas, turn towards this which is your bread. Receive it from my hands. Say the following four times. May the eye of Horus flourish for you. This is your libation, Osiris. This is your libation, Unas, coming from your son, coming from Horus. I have come, I bring you the eye of Horus, so that your heart may be refreshed by it. I bring it to you to carry you, to be underneath your two feet. Take the emission that comes forth from you, so that your heart will not be weary on account of it. Say the following four times. Take, the voice has come out for you. Osiris, seize everyone who hates Unas, who speaks evil against his name. Thoth, go and seize that wrong speaker for Osiris. Bring the one who speaks wrong against the name of Unas, and place him in your hand. Do not separate yourself from him, and take care that you are not separated from him. He goes who goes with his Ka spirit. Horus goes with his Ka. Seth goes with his Ka. Thoth goes with his Ka. The god goes with his Ka. Osiris goes with his car, and you also go with your car. O Unas, the arm of your Ka spirit is before you. The arm of your Ka is behind you. The leg of your Ka is before you. The leg of your Ka is behind you. Osiris Unas, I give you the eye of Horus, so that your face may be adorned with it, and that the perfume of the eye of Horus may spread towards you. Now, that same section, but in Egyptian. I've chosen this one because of the repetition of certain phrases. Keep an ear out for words like ka'ek, your ka. The repetition of these make it easier to hear the rhythm and understand the tone. Once again, utterances 23 to 25 from the north wall of the passage. Quote, Osir, ichenek mesjedu onis, nebu, medu emrenefju. Jehoti, itzi itsu en isir en medu emren onis jo. De enexu emjeret ek. Jed medu sep 4. Sefechek ek. Immefza emek sefechek u. Immefzech. Zi henna kaef. Zi heru henna kaef. Zi setech henna kaef. Zi jehoti henna kaef. Zi necher henna kaef. Zi iser henna kaef. Zi henti iretti henna kaef. Ziet jedde henna kaek. Ha onnis akak em bachek. Ha onnis akak em chetek. Ha onnis red kaek em bachek. Ha onnis red kaek em chetek. Osir onnis. Ji eni enek iret cheru chetem cherek imes. Pej sech iret cheru erek. Jed medu zep 4 zenetjer chet. Now, the second half of the passage's north wall concerns perfumes. Incense and sweet-smelling things are a big subject here. As the soul of the king emerges from his burial chamber, and as the priests leave after conducting the funeral, they should burn incense, purify the air, cleanse it of any lingering rot. Unas is heading to the sky, the realm of the gods, and the priests are sealing a grave. This is a time for pleasantness. Quote, greetings to the incense, greetings to the divine brother, greetings to the one of enduring greatness, he who is in the flesh of Horus. Great Father, spell out your name, spread out in your name of pellet of incense. Your smell is for Unas, your perfume is for Unas. Eye of Horus, be high, be great for Unas. Make an offering of incense. The texts of the north wall in the passage end here. Now we turn around and face south. The south wall continues the same themes as the north, but I do want to highlight one noteworthy point. In these passages, you'll hear a reference to the breaking of two red jars. This one is really interesting. The breaking of red jars, sej desherut, is part of the Egyptian ritual practice. It comes at the end of the ceremony, and most of our references to it are funerary, but it might extend to larger offering rituals as well. The idea seems to be that at the conclusion of the ritual, the practitioners would smash red jars on the ground. The idea might be that breaking these jars would dispel any negative aura or scare away malevolent spirits lurking in the background. In short, it might be a way of scaring away evil and officially concluding an important sacred ceremony. This act, the breaking of the red pots, is still visible all across Egypt, if you know where to look. When you visit a site like Saqqara and you are walking over the sands, look down. You will find the ground littered with shards of broken pottery. It's everywhere. Broken pottery is so ubiquitous, especially in sacred sites, that archaeologists wind up with mountains of the stuff. Even a small excavation will uncover thousands, perhaps millions of small pieces. Now a lot of this, maybe most of it, is simply the detritus of life. Pottery was cheap, easily broken, and readily discarded. But in the necropolis areas, especially near the tombs, A huge portion of these ceramics will be the remains of breaking the red pots, Sej Desherut, as people brought offerings to their ancestors or to famous figures. They would break their pots after the ritual. As a result, the sands of Saqqara and many other sites teem with red remains. It's a wonderful feature. Curiously, you will find a similar practice in the Eastern or Greek Orthodox Church with the breaking of plates at a funeral, and Jewish weddings often include the breaking of a glass as part of the rite. Considering both cultures are neighbours to Egypt, with a long history of interaction and exchange with the Nile Valley, it's interesting that they have such a similar practice. Perhaps the breaking of the red jars continues in a modified version today. If you would like to learn more about the ritual, there is a detailed discussion by Professor Jacobus van Dyk, which is available online. I'll put a link in the episode description. Anyway, the texts of the south wall in the passage, utterances 244 to 246. Quote, "This here is the eye of Horus. Place it in your hand, so that you may be sure of victory, and that he, Seth, may fear you. Break the two red jars. This Unas comes to you, O Nut. This Unas comes to you, O Nut. He has thrown his father down to earth. He has left Horus behind him. His two wings have grown as those of a falcon. His two feathers are those of a sacred falcon. His soul has brought him here. His magical power has adorned him. May you open your place in the sky amongst the stars of the sky. You, indeed, are the unique star, the comrade of Hu. May you look down upon Osiris when he gives orders to the spirits. You stand high up, far away from him. You are not of them, the spirits. You shall not be of them. Behold, this Unas stands among you. Two horns are on his head, like two wild bulls. For you are indeed the black ram, the son of a black sheep, born of a white sheep, and suckled by four sheep mothers. He, the Horus with blue eyes, comes against you. He comes against you. Beware of the Horus with red eyes, whose anger is evil, whose power one cannot withstand. His messengers go forth, his quick runners run, and they announce this to the one who lifts his arm in the east, that is, Min. They announce that the unique one, Inu, is going away, of whom the gods themselves said, he will give orders to my fathers, the gods. The gods are silent before you, Unas. The Ennead has put their hands before their mouths, before the one within you, of whom the god said, he will give orders to my fathers, the gods. Step up to the doors of the horizon, and the doors of the cool region open themselves. You stand there, ruling over them, just as Geb rules over his Ennead. They come in, they strike down evil with their power. They come out, their faces are lifted up. They see you as Min, who rules over the two shrines. He stands who stands behind you. Your brother stands behind you. Your relative stands behind you. You do not go under. You will not be annihilated. Your name remains with the living. Your name comes into being with the gods." You emerge from the passageway. The king's soul and the funerary priests follow you. Straightening up, you are now in the antechamber, east of the burial. Symbolically, you are leaving the Duat, the realm of stars, and entering the Akhet, the eastern horizon, the land of sunrise. In this hall, the pyramid texts focus on appearance. The deceased king, the Osiris Unas, will appear as a star. He will appear as the god Nefertem, the perfect lotus, whom Ra holds to his nose as a perfume. He will appear in the boat of Ra, the solar bark, and speak directly to the stars and the gods. Finally, the Osiris Unas will cross the Akhet, travelling alongside Ra and helping the sun to achieve his rebirth. As you emerge from the passageway, turn around and face west. The antechamber texts begin on the western wall, up beneath the ceiling. This part, the west gable, describes the birth of Unas, his spiritual birth, from the gods themselves, and also the purpose for which he appears. The west gable presents the utterances, or spells, 247 to 253. Quote, "Your son Horus has acted for you, Unas. The great ones shake, having seen the knife in your hand as you emerge from the Duat. Hail to you, wise one. Geb has created you. The Ennead has given birth to you. Horus is satisfied with his father. Atum is satisfied with his years. The gods of the east and west are satisfied with this great event that took place in the arms of the one who gives birth to the god, that is, the sky goddess Nut. This is Unas. Behold, it is Unas. This is Unas. Look, it is Unas. This is Unas. Here, it is Unas. This is Unas. Existing is Unas. O Unas, raise yourself up from your side. Follow my command, you who hate sleep, but were made to lie down. Stand up, for you are in Nedit. Your good bread has been made in the city of Pe. Receive your control of Iunu, or Heliopolis. It is Horus who speaks to you, having been commanded to act for his father. The Lord of the Storm, the one with spittle in his area, Seth, he carries you. He is the one who carries Atum. Unas is a great one. Unas came out between the thighs of the divine Ennead. Unas was conceived by Sakhmet, and Shesmetet is the one who gave birth to Unas. To be a star with a sharp front and a wide stride, who brings offerings for the road of Ra every day. Unas has come to his throne, which is above the two ladies, Wajet and Nekbet, who protect southern and northern Egypt. And Unas appears as a star. O you, two contending ones, Horus and Seth, please tell the noble one of whatever identity, that I, Unas, am the lotus that rises clean from the earth. His hand is purified by the one who prepared his place. Unas is this flower at the nose of the great mighty one. Unas has come forth from the island of fire after he has replaced falsehood with ma'at, or truth. Unas is the purified guardian who watches over the Uraeus serpents on that night of the great flood that came out of the sky. Unas appears as Nefertem, the lotus at the nose of Ra, as he comes forth from the horizon every day, and at the sight of which the gods purify themselves. It is Unas who is above his Ka spirits, who unites the hearts from the one of surpassing wisdom, the great one who is in possession of the divine book, the divine perception at the right hand of Ra. Unas has come to the place that is in charge of the Ka spirits. Indeed, Unas says that which is in the heart of the Great One, Nut, on the festival of the red cloth. It is Unas who is the divine perception at the right hand of Ra, the thoughtful of heart, he who is the ruler of the cavern of Nun, the infinite waters. O you who are set over the hours, you who go forth before Ra, prepare a way for Unas, so that he may pass through the guard of demons who have terrible faces. Unas is on the way to his throne, which is before all other seats, behind the god to whom a head has been given back, Osiris, adorned with the sharp and strong horn of an antelope. He is like one who carries a sharp knife which cuts the throat. The horn of Osiris is the expeller of pain before the bull, the one who chastises those who are in darkness. It is the strong horn of the antelope that is behind the great god. Unas has overpowered those who were to be punished. Unas has smashed their faces. the arm of Unas will not be opposed in the eastern horizon. Lift up your face, you gods who are in the Duat. Unas has come so that you might see him, having become a great god. Present Unas with fearsome attire, Unas who has honored all of you back when he gave orders to humans. Unas now judges those who live in the land of Ra. Unas speaks to this pure land, having taken his place there, together with the one who separated the two contenders, that is, Horus and Seth, and Thoth the Separator. Unas lifts his Ames scepter when he intends to refuse any admittance to his place. Unas sits together with the rowers at the bark of Ra. Unas orders Ma'at, and he performs it. Unas is the great god. He is purified who has purified himself in the field of reeds. Ra has purified himself in the field of reeds. This Unas has purified himself in the field of reeds. The hand of Unas is in the hand of Ra. Goddess Nut, take his hand. Shu, lift him up. Shu, lift him up. Those passages appear on the upper half of the western wall, the gable beneath the ceiling. Now we look at the bottom half. In these passages, Unas, emerging from his tomb, receives praise. The gods affirm his power as an effective spirit, or Akh, and Unas takes up his scepters, his regalia, and his place in the kingdom of the gods. This section contains utterances, or spells, 254 to 260. Quote, "The Great One, the Uraeus, burns incense for the bull of Nechen, Hierakonpolis. The heat of the fiery breath is against you, you who are about the shrine. O great god, whose name is unknown, bring at once a meal for the unique lord. O lord of the horizon, make a place for Unas. If you fail to make a place for Unas, he will pronounce a curse against his father Geb. The earth will not speak any more. Geb will not be able to defend himself, and any whom Unas finds blocking his way, he will eat them piece by piece. The Henet bird will announce a prophecy. The Great One will rise, and the Enneads will speak, saying, the earth is completely dammed up, for the mountain ranges on either side of the river have been joined, and the two banks have been united. The roads have been made inaccessible to those who would pass, and the hill terraces have been destroyed for those who would go up. Make tight the rope of the boat, sail the road of the sky, and strike the ball on the meadow of Hapi, the Apis bull. Behold, your fields are afraid, O climbing star, before the star's pillar, having seen Kenzet's pillar, the bull of the sky. The oxherd is overwhelmed upon its stem, and shaking descends upon the knife-bearers before the storm of the sky. For he has parted the earth through that which he has learned on the day when he wanted to come forth. So says the god with the great plough, who is in the midst of the Duat. Behold, she is coming, the beautiful West goddess, to meet you with her beautiful hair. And she is saying, welcome, you to whom I gave birth, with the rising horn, the eye-painted pillar, the bull of the sky. Your body is distinguished. Pass in peace, for I have joined together with you. So says the beautiful West goddess about Unas. The god named Thighs Forward speaks, saying, go and row to the field of offerings. Set your course to the god who is perched upon his high tree. Plough into the earth to your thickness, to your middle, to your shoulders. You see the sun in chains, and you worship the sun in his escape from chains, by means of the Great One's power, which is in his red linen. The Lord of Satisfaction is giving you your office. To the apes who cut off heads, I pass by you in peace, for I have tied my head upon my neck, and my neck is upon my torso, in my name of He with the Attached Head. in which I tied the head of the Apis bull upon him on the day of lassoing that long-horned bull. Since Unas has allowed them to eat from their cups and drink from their Nile flooding, so Unas is protected in the same way by those who see him. The serpent of praise is upon her staff, and the Tefnut of Unas, she who supports Shu. She has made his place in Busiris and in Mendes, in the necropolis of Iunu, Heliopolis. She erects his two pillars in front of the Great One. She digs a pool for Unas in the field of reeds. She establishes his farm in the field of offerings. Unas judges in the great flood the cow who is between the two contending ones, Horus and Seth. The strength of Unas is the strength of the eye of Tebi, the sun god. His victorious strength is the victorious strength of the eye of Tebi. Unas has freed himself from those who did this against him, who damaged his meal when it was there, who damaged his evening meal when it was there, who destroyed the breath from his nose and brought to an end the period of his life. Unas is victoriously stronger than they, appearing again on his riverbank. The hearts of his enemies fall into Unas' fingers. Their intestines are for the inhabitants of the sky. Their red blood is for those of the earth. Their inheritance is to be poor. Their homes will be set on fire. Their land property will go underneath the high Nile flood. The heart of Unas will be glad. The heart of Unas will be glad. Unas is the unique one, the bull of heaven. He has exterminated those who did this against him. He has annihilated their descendants upon the earth. That which is before his throne, he will seize. He will exalt that which Shu gave to him in the presence of Seth. The horizon is purified for Horus of Neken, Hierakonpolis, and a meal for the lords is prepared. The horizon is purified before the Horus of Neken. The heat of its fiery breath is against you who surround the shrine of the sun god. Its poisonous heat is against you who wears the Great One. O despicable one, despicable of form, remove yourself from your place and lay down your insignia for me. If you do not remove yourself from your place and lay down your insignia, Unas will come with the face of the great god, Horus, who is the lord of wrath, who grew powerful from the injury that was done to him. Unas will give the flame of his eye so that it surrounds you and puts the storm among those who do wrong deeds, and its poison amongst the primeval ones. Unas will strike the arms from Shu out from under Nut, and he will put his shoulder against the pillar upon which you depend. Thus, the Great One rises up inside his shrine and lays down his insignia for Unas. For Unas has acquired powerful speech, and he has taken possession of divine perception. Unas has inherited from Geb. Unas has inherited from Geb. He has inherited Atum. He is upon the throne of Horus the Elder. The eye of Horus is Unas' strength. It is the protection against that which was done to him. The heat of the fire of his uraeus is like Renenutet, which is upon him. Unas has put his fear into their hearts by making a massacre amongst them. The gods have seen it while they took their clothes off. They bowed before Unas while praising him, saying, "Row him, O mother, tow him to his native place. Horus, loose the rope. Excitement in the sky, we see something new." Thus say the gods of primeval times. O Ennead, a new Horus is in the sunlight. The Lord of Forms serves him. The two Enneads turn for him, as he sits upon the throne of the Lord of All. Unas takes the sky. He splits its metal. Unas is led upon the ways of the one who becomes, Khepri, the rising sun. Unas goes to peace, being alive in the west, and the inhabitants of the Duat serve Unas. Unas shines again in the east, and the one who separates the two contenders, Thoth, comes to him, bowing, and he says, Serve Unas, you gods, for he is older than the Great One. Unas has taken his seat. Unas takes authority, and eternity is brought to him. Divine perception is placed at his feet. Celebrate for Unas, for he has taken the horizon. Osiris is Unas in a dust storm. His horror is the earth. Unas does not enter into Geb, the earth, that he might be annihilated, that he might sleep in his house upon earth, that his bones might be broken. His injuries are removed. He has purified himself with the eye of Horus. His injuries are removed by the two female kites, Isis and Nephthys. Unas has freed himself by discharging his wounds into the earth. His sister, the Lady of Pei, is the one who has mourned him. Unas goes to the sky. Unas goes to the sky with the wind, with the wind. He will not be hindered. There is nobody who can hinder him. There will be no counsel on his behalf in the God's assembly, Jajat. Unas is on his own. He is the eldest of the gods. His offering cake comes up together with those of Ra. His offering meal comes out of Nun, the primeval waters. Unas is the one who returns. He comes and goes together with Ra. His houses are being visited by him. Unas distributes the Ka spirits. He ravishes the Ka spirits. He punishes and removes injuries. Unas spends the day. He spends the night while he pacifies the two farm tillers in Hermopolis. His foot is not hindered. His heart is not opposed. O Geb, the bull of Nut, Horus is Unas, the heir of his father. Unas is he who went and came back, the fourth of those four gods who have brought the water and who have made a purification, who jubilate over the strength of their fathers. He wishes to be true of voice in what he has done himself. The utterances found on the west wall continue immediately onto the south. The texts change halfway through a sentence, and I wonder if the planners intended to do that, or if they simply ran out of space. Either way, the passages continue the same theme as the western wall. The gods declare Unas power, his might as an effective spirit. Different gods, great and small, acknowledge his supremacy. The Osiris Unas also travels across the Arket, the eastern horizon. In this part, we get a sort of travelogue, and the texts reference different regions of that realm. We hear about the famous Field of Reeds, Iaru, the Field of Offerings, Hetepu Necher, and even the mountains, Juo, on either side of the river, Iteru. All of these places, and their denizens, and their gods, are submissive to Unas, just as the lands and peoples of Egypt were submissive in life. So in these passages, the Osiris Unas receives the divine equivalent of his earthly kingdom. These are utterances, or spells, 260 to 272. Quote, Unas, the small orphan, went to law with the sister, the two Ma'ats judged, and Shu was the witness. The two Ma'ats have decreed that the thrones of Geb should come to Unas, and that he should raise himself to the position he desired. Bring together, then, his body parts, which shall be secret. He joins those who are in the Nun, the primeval waters, and he leaves his legacy in Iunu, Heliopolis. Behold, Unas comes forth on this day in the true form of a living Akh spirit, so that Unas might interrupt the fight, so that he might punish strife. Unas comes forth as the guardian of Ma'at. He brings it while it is with him. Those who were angry turn around in their mood because of him, and those who were in Nun transfer life to him. The shelter of Unas is in his eye. The protection of Unas is in his eye. The victorious strength of Unas is in his eye. The power of Unas is in his eye. O you gods of the south, of the north, of the west, and the east, praise Unas, fear him, for he sat in the leather tent of the two courts. The red Uraeus, Genenutet, will burn for you and strike your hearts. You who come to Unas as enemies, come to him as friends. Come to him. Unas is the person of his father. He is the bud of his mother. It is abomination to Unas to go about in darkness, so that he does not see and is upside down. Unas comes out on this day and brings Ma'at, which is with him. Unas will not be handed to your flame, you gods. Unas is a heart thrower, the son of the heart of Shu, who spreads out an outspreading with a terrible light. Unas is he who burns before the wind, to the limits of the sky, to the limits of the earth, before the arms of the lightning bolts are emptied on account of him. Unas traverses the air, which is Shu, and he passes over the earth, which is Aker. He kisses the red crown, being one whom the god has cast. Those in the tree crowns open their arms to him. Unas stands on the eastern side of the vault of the sky, and that which rises to the road of the sky is brought to him. It is Unas, the message of the storm. Do not be ignorant of Unas, you god. You know Unas, and he knows you. Do not be ignorant of Unas, O Ra. You know Unas, and he knows you. Do not be ignorant of Unas. Unas calls you, the great of provision, the lord of all. Do not be ignorant of Unas, O Thoth. You know him, and he knows you. Do not be ignorant of Unas, Thoth. Unas calls you, he who rests alone. Do not be ignorant of Unas, O sharp Horus. You know him, and he knows you. Do not be ignorant of Unas, O sharp Horus. He calls you difficult. Do not be ignorant of Unas, you in the Duat. You know him, and he knows you. Do not be ignorant of Unas, you in the Duat. He calls you he who wakes sound. Do not be ignorant of Unas, O bull of the sky. You know him, and he knows you. Do not be ignorant of Unas, O bull of the sky. He calls you this one who endures. Here is Unas, come. Here is Unas, come. Here is Unas appearing. Unas would never have come of his own accord. A message is what came for Unas. Unas has passed by the house of his Ba. The wrath of the great lake has missed Unas. The payment of Unas is not received on the great ferry. There is nobody who bars Unas from the white palace of the great ones on the beaten path of Sehedu. So here Unas has reached the heights of the sky. Unas has seen the serpent in the nightboat. Unas is the one who rose in the nightboat. Unas has recognized the Uraeus in the dayboat. Unas is the one who bails it. Humanity have witnessed Unas. The rain clouds of the sky have taken Unas, and they will elevate Unas to the sun. The two reed boats of the sky are laid down for Ra, so that he may cross to the horizon. The two reed boats of the sky are laid down for Horus of the two horizons, Horakhti, so that he may cross upon them to Ra. The two reed boats of the sky are laid down for Unas, so that he may cross upon them to Horakhti and to Ra. It is pleasant for Unas to be with his Ka spirit, and he lives together with his Ka. His kilt is upon him, his scepter is upon his arm, his mace is in his hand. Those who have gone away have missed Unas, and they bring to him the Akh spirits, the oldest ones, at the head of the curling ones who stand at the eastern end of the sky, who lean upon their scepters. These spirits say to Ra the beautiful name of Unas, and they announce this Unas to Neheb-Kau, in order that the entrance of this Unas will be greeted. The field of reeds is full of water to let Unas cross the watercourse. This Unas will make a crossing to the eastern side of the Akhet horizon. This Unas will make a crossing to the eastern side of the sky. His sister is the star Sothis. The Duat has given him birth. Your heart belongs to you, Osiris. Your two feet belong to you. Osiris, your arm belongs to you. The heart of Unas belongs to himself. His two feet belong to him. His arms belong to him. The earth is beaten into steps for Unas, so that he may mount them towards the sky, and he rises on the smoke of the great burnt offerings. He flies away, this Unas, as a goose, and he rises as a Khepri scarab. He flies away as a goose, and he rises as a scarab on the empty throne which is in your boat, O Ra. Stand up, begone, those who do not know the thicket of the reeds, so that Unas may sit upon your seat, so that he may row in the sky in your boat, O Ra. This Unas pushes off from the earth, being in your boat, O Ra, when you come forth from the Akhet horizon. Unas has his Sekhem scepter in his hand, as the one who sails your boat, O Ra. He approaches the sky, he is far from earth, being far from his wife and from his kilt. Unas washes himself, and Ra appears. The great Ennead shines, and he of Ombos, Seth, is high as the ruler of the southern Iteret shrine. This Unas ravishes humanity like his own body. This Unas seizes the Weret crown, the very great crown, from the two Enneads. Isis takes care of him, Nephthys suckles him. Horus takes him to his side. He purifies this Unas in the Lake of Jackals. Horus cleans the Ka spirit of this Unas in the Lake of Dawn. He rubs down the flesh of the Ka of this Unas, as well as his own, with that which is at Ra's side in the Akhet horizon, with that which Ra receives when the two lands are lit up and Ra opens the faces of the gods. He takes the Ka spirit of this Unas, as well as himself, to the great estate, after the courts have been made by him and the tow rope has been attached for him. Then this Unas leads to the imperishable stars. He crosses to the field of reeds. Those who are in the horizon row the boat for him. Those who are in the cool region of the sky convey him. Excellent is this Unas being excellent. His arms do not fail him. Foremost is this Unas being foremost. His Ka comes to him. The fire is laid, the fire shines. The incense is placed upon the fire, and the incense shines. O incense, your smell comes to Unas, and the smell of Unas comes to you, O incense. O gods, your smell comes to Unas, and the smell of Unas comes to you, O gods. May Unas be with you, O gods. May you be with Unas, O gods. May Unas live with you, O gods. May you live with Unas. May Unas love you, O gods. May you love Unas, O gods. The incense pellets come, which have come forth from the knee of Horus. They come, the ones who have risen up. They come, the ones who have raised themselves. They come, the ones who are lifted by Shu. Horus comes on the knees of Isis, and this Unas ascends on the knees of Nephthys. The father of Unas, Atum, seizes the arms of Unas, and he assigns Unas to those gods who are quick and clever, the imperishable stars, the circumpolars. The mother of Unas, Ipi, give to Unas this, your breast, so that Unas may place it to his mouth, and that he may suck this, your white, clear, sweet milk. The land into which Unas goes, he will not be thirsty within it, he will not be hungry within it forever. Awake in peace, you whose face is behind. Awake in peace, you who look behind. Awaken in peace, ferryman of the sky. Awaken in peace, ferryman of Nut. Awaken in peace, ferryman of the gods. Unas comes to you so that you may ferry him in that boat in which you ferry the gods. Unas comes to his side as a god who comes to his side. Unas comes to his sidelock as a god who comes to his sidelock. There is no living accuser against Unas. There is no dead accuser against Unas. There is no goose accuser against Unas. And there is no bull accuser against Unas. If you, ferryman, do not take Unas, he will jump up and place himself upon the wing of Thoth. And then it is he, Thoth, who will carry Unas over to the other side. Unas is he who has caused the land to be underneath the Nile flood after he came out of the lake. It is Unas who has gathered up the papyrus. It is Unas who has made peaceful the two lands. It is Unas who has united the two lands. It is Unas who will unite himself with his mother, the great wild cow. Mother of Unas, you, wild cow, and wife, who, as a cow, is upon the grassy hill, who, as a woman or a vulture, is upon the mount of the vulture bird. They stand fast, the two jed pillars, the broken steps which descend. Unas ascends on that ladder which his father Ra has made for him. Horus and Seth take the arm of Unas, and they take him to the Duat region. Horus, to whom a wink was made, says, "Beware of the one to whom this was ordered." And Seth, to whom it was ordered, says, "Beware of him to whom a wink was made." The face of the god opens up for Unas, and Unas sits down upon the great throne at the side of the god. O height which has not yet been reached, the gate of noon, Unas comes to you. Let this gate be opened for him. Is Unas, the little one, present there? Unas is at the head of the servants of Ra. Unas is not at the head of those gods who create trouble. We reach the end of the south wall. Now we turn left to the east and look up. In this last section, the east gable below the ceiling presents a set of hieroglyphs. This is probably the most famous part of Unas pyramid texts. It is the so-called cannibal hymn, a series of utterances in which Unas takes his nourishment by force. The god-king feeds on the living and the dead, absorbing their spirits, or ka, their magic, hekenu, and using them to strengthen his authority. The cannibal hymn is a famous but complicated passage that requires a lot of explanation to really get into it. I discussed it in some detail in my original episode about Unas, and one day, hopefully, I'll go back and update that. For now, though, here is the cannibal hymn, the east gable of the antechamber beneath the ceiling. Utterances 273 to 276. Quote, "The sky darkens, the stars darken. The curve of the sky trembles, the bones of the earth shake. All movements have ceased. After they have seen Unas appearing and powerful, as a god who lives on his fathers, who feeds on his mothers, this Unas is a lord of wisdom, whose name even his mother does not know. The splendor of Unas is in the sky. His power is in the horizon. He is like his father Atum, who created him. Atum created him, but Unas is even more powerful than he. The ka spirits of Unas are behind him. His servants are beneath his two feet. His protector gods are upon him. His Uraeus serpents are upon his brow. The guiding snakes of Unas are at his forehead. And she who perceives the soul of his enemy, she whose fire is effective, the power of Unas is for his protection. Unas is the bull of the sky, aggressive in his nature, living on the form of every god. He eats their entrails, those who come, their bellies full of magic, from the island of fire. He is Unas, equipped, the assembler of the Ark spirits. Unas has risen as the Great One, the Lord of those who help. He sits with his back turned to Geb, the Earth God. It is Unas who judges, along with he whose name is hidden, on the day when the elder is being sacrificed. Unas is the Lord of Offerings, who ties the rope and prepares his own offering meal for himself. It is Unas who eats people, who lives on the gods, the Lord of Messengers, who gives all instructions. Indeed, it is he who seizes by the hair, residing in Kechau, who lassoes these ones for Unas. Indeed, it is the snake with the sacred head who keeps guard over them for Unas, who keeps them back for him. Indeed, it is he who is upon the red, who binds the car spirits for him. Indeed, it is Khonsu, the moon, who slaughters the lords, cuts their throats for Unas, and who takes out for him that which is in their bellies. He is the messenger whom he sends forth to punish. Indeed, it is the god of the winemaker who cuts them up for Unas, and who cooks for him a meal out of them in his evening cook pots. It is Unas who eats their magic, who swallows their spirits, or Ahu. The large ones are for his morning meal, the middle-sized ones are for his evening meal, and the little ones are for his night meal. The old men and the old woman are for his energy. Indeed, the great ones in the northern sky are those who light a fire for him beneath the cook pots, which contain them with the legs of the eldest ones. Those who are in the sky serve Unas when his hearth fire is constructed with the legs of their old woman. He has completely encircled the two skies. He has gone around the two lands. Unas is the great power, the power over the powers. Unas is the sacred image, the sacred image of the sacred images. Any whom Unas finds in his way, he eats them piece by piece. The prestige of Unas is more than any other nobles who are in the Akhet horizon. Unas is a god older than the oldest. Thousands serve him, hundreds make offerings for him. He has been given authority as a great power by Orion, the father of the gods. Unas has appeared again in the sky. He is crowned as the lord of the horizon. He has broken the joints of the vertebrae. He has taken the hearts of the gods. He has eaten the red. He has swallowed the green. Unas feeds on the lungs of the knowing. He is satisfied with living on hearts and on their magic. But Unas is disgusted when his tongue touches the emetic parts which are in the red one. He is pleased when their magic is in his belly. The prestige of Unas shall not be taken from him, for he has swallowed the perception of every god. The span of life of Unas is eternity. His limit is everlastingness. In this, his prestige of what he wishes to do, he does. What he does not wish to do, he does not. He is in the land of the horizon, eternally and forever. Behold, their soul, their Ba, is in the belly of Unas. Their spirits, their Ahu, are with Unas as the soup of the gods, cooked for Unas from their bones. Behold, their soul, or Ba, is with Unas. Their shadows are taken away from those to whom they belong. It is Unas that appears, who remains. The doers of falsehood shall not be able to destroy the place of Unas, which is among the living in this land, eternally and forever. That is the East Gable, including the Cannibal Hymn. Of course, I couldn't let you go without presenting the Cannibal Hymn in the Egyptian. It's a lengthy passage, but it's quite evocative. To get a better sense of what you are hearing, keep an ear out for certain words and phrases. Of course, there is Osir and Onis, which is the Osiris Unas, but then there are the more specific phrases, like Wenem, meaning to eat, Remech Ankh, meaning living people, Necheru, gods, Itef, meaning father, Mutef, meaning mother, Heka, meaning magic, Ahu, meaning effectiveness or spirits, Weru, meaning elders, Shereru, meaning little ones, and finally, the Ba, or soul. These are some of the things that Unas will consume in his journey to immortality. Now then, the Cannibal Hymn in transliteration. Quote, Gep pet, ihi sebau. Nemnem pejud seda kesu akeru ger ersen genemu. Maen sen onis ha ba em necher ank em ituef wesheb em mutef. Onis pi neb zabud chemmen mutef rennef. Yu shepsu onis em pet yu useref em achet mertem itef mesu. Yu mesen nef su usir su eref. Yu kau onis, chaef yu hemsutef her redwief. Yu necheruef depef, yu yarutef emwepetef. Yu sechemut onis, emhatef, peteret ba aket nechebes. Yu useru onis, her meketef. Onis pi, ka pet en head em ibef, ank em heper en negerneb. Wenem wezemu sen, yuwu mech hetsen, em hekau em yu nisisi. Onis pi, aper iab achuef. Yu onis, cha em wer pu neb, imiu iset awi, hemesef saef ir gebeb. Onis pi, weja, meduef, hena imen renef, herupu en reches semsu. Onis pi neb, hetepet jaz akka. Ir autef Jesef. Onis pi, wenem remech ank em necheru, neb inu, chau weput. Ine chamau weput imi kechau sepech senen unis. In Jeser depi, za enef, sen chesef enef sen. In chercherut kas enef sen. In chenzu medes nebu jadef senen unis. Sheddef ennef immet chetzen. Wepet pu habuef chesef. In chesemu rechesef senen onis. Fesesennef iket imsen em ketiutef mesherut. Onis pi, wenem cheka sen, ia em achu sen. Yu weru sen en ishetef duat. Yu cheruib sen en mesherut ef. Yu shereru sen en ishetef chau. Yu yau sen, yaut sen en kapetef. In atiu mechetiu pet weduenef sejet, wechaud cheret sen em chepchu nu semes sen. Yu pecher imio pet en onis, sheseret denef ketiu temredu nu chimut sen. Yu debenef peti temti yu pecherenef idebwi. Onis pi sechem wer sechem em sechemu. Onis pi ashem ashem ashemu. Wer gemiyef em watef wenemef enef sumumu. Yu meket onis em chat sachu nebu imiu achet. Onis pi necher semes semsu. Yu pecherenef chau, yu wedenenef chut. Yu regienef, aem sechemwer, in sach it necheru. Yu wechem en onis, chau em pet ief seben em neb achet. Yu chesebenef, chazu beksu. Yu ichenef, chatu necheru. Yu wenemenef, desheret, yu amenef wadjet. Wesheb onis, em zemau sau, chetepef em ank em chatu, chekau sen isech, foi onis, nesebef, sebshu imiu decheret. Ief wachef yu heka sen em chetef, ni nechem em sachu onis em aef. Yu amenef sia en necherneb, achau pi en onis, nechek jeref pi jet. Em sachef pen en mereref ireref mes jejejef ni irenef. Imigeru achet jet nechek. Sek basen em het onis, achiusen her onis, em ha chetef necheru kereret en onis em kesusen. Sek basen her onis, chud sen em a irusen. Yu onis em nen cha, cha imen imen, ni sechem iru irut em chebes iset ib onis, em anku em ta pen jet nechech.
This brings us to the end of the antechamber of King Unas, the west wall, south wall, and east gable. In part 4, the final episode, we will explore the remainder of the antechamber, and the corridor that leads to the surface, leading to the sky. Then we will also do a summary of the pyramid texts overall, including a few more details about the larger context and what is happening within these passages. That last episode will release in a few days. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon.